and then we have a donor who kicks in the other half. And so it makes it possible for a kid to come to camp for about $75, and then the church kicks in $75, and then the donor kicks in the rest of the money to make it possible. What's really cool about that is that a number of churches work pretty hard at looking around and finding the kids that don't know Christ as their Savior. And those kids are the ones that come, and they have a different chapel service, they have a different devotion time, they learn about the gospel. We have about 10 to 12 hours or time sessions that we're able to share the gospel with them from start to finish. So it's not just a quick time. It really is quite a time where we share what it means to be saved and what the gift of salvation is. So this is really cool because the church is totally invested at this point. One of those young people had gotten saved, and she was scared about sharing it with her family. You know, that what was her family going to think? Some of those kids will come from some of the Middle East religions and stuff like that, and so it's kind of a scary thing for her. And the sponsor who is with her said, "Well, why don't I go with you when you go home, and you can just tell your mom and dad what you did." And so she was much happier about that, and the sponsor went home with her, and they told her what happened. Well, within the next week, one of her family members got saved. That church had known that family, had worked with them a bit, and one of her family members got saved. A year later, 8 people out of that family have been saved, and started with that one kid who came to camp with the church burdened for that family and totally connected in. So for the sake of the gospel, it's just really cool to see the way the Lord works. So although I have I can tell you a number of 113, the way more fun is to be able to tell you the story of one and to know that we have a God who knows all of those things. So let's show a few pictures here. I'll move them through fairly quickly, I hope. Did I do something wrong? Maybe. Okay, now I'm controlling.
Down arrow.
Yeah. I'll get it. It's for my first time being told wrong. There's me interpreting wrong. There's our resident staff team. And so this is the team that our group of missionaries plus our ministry bound. And we're at the end of a 3.5-mile dirt road. It's all a Western camp and Western in theme with lots of different activities that we do for the young people. There are about 200 buildings on the property. This is taken from the top of Soldier Mountain on a huge sand dune that is up there. So it's really a fun spot to be. Mostly church groups that come. I want to mention this one right here. This is kind of new for us, the Hacienda. This is a view from the outside. You know, you notice there's no way to look inside. It's kind of its own little spot there above the lake, and it's got 3 different buildings where pastors are able to stay. It's 4-star type living, and it's really nice. They've got their own pizza oven, smoker. They've got some really nice amenities to that place. We have, when we were in the middle of COVID, this was our biggest thing, still operating, because we were able to operate it with our county that would allow a single residence family to come. So from the start of COVID all the way through, this place was packed. In the last 2 years, we've served 123 pastors at the Hacienda. And you'll see up there on the wall, up there kind of hanging, those are shepherd staffs that each pastor gets when they arrive. And when they arrive, that shepherd staff, they decorate it, they put it, their names are engraved in it, and after they've been there 10 times, then they're able to take that home. So we've had the place in existence now for a little over 3 years, and we are just about ready to give away our first shepherd staff to one of those pastors. Many of them use it 2 to 3 times a year. It's really cool to see that working out. So it's fun. This is a homestead where we do all the, where we eat. We like to eat there. So tri-tip is probably our favorite. So the homestead has 2 dining rooms. Now it has a third and fourth dining room. We're just added on. That's the long hall and then the iron skipper. is there. This is the twig. It's quite a story on this. Canadian logs came down, and the guy built it. That's Rivertown. Rivertown, the biggest meeting room there, can handle about 350, and it was the original building. There's four or five breakout rooms within Rivertown that we're able to use. So those are more of those rooms. Both of the camps have their own coffee shop, their own game room, and then the activities are all over. One of my favorite places, the prayer chapel, right there. Horses are a big part. A lot of people get to ride horses. So interesting story. The first person that we did, you'll see that's a picture of the archery tag. Rand Hummel was at our place when we were testing that out, and I said, Rand, shoot me. He shot me, and I turned around, and he was supposed to shoot me in the back. Shot me right in the back of the head. So I was giving Rand a hard time. So great fun. Obviously, it's all about people that are there. We actually serve more adults than we do children, and kids mainly in the summertime, but adults all winter long. So most of the camps that we'll have this winter will revolve around men's retreat, women's retreat, and we can do about 50, 55 couples at a couples retreat. So we have that kind of capacity. Skit night, they always do an evening show after dinner right there. So our son would have been in some of those. So that's him on the far left, if you're wondering. That's Bodie. So he's still out there at Ironwood. Two game rooms. We try to add one or two games every year. And then the big old 8-acre lake. So we go canoeing and archery. There's my one picture of Landon right there. That looks impressive, but that's in about 3 feet of water with a goal that's about 6 feet high. So he's jumping about 8 inches right there. So, but it looks good. It looks pretty amazing. The slide is obviously a highlight. We're getting ready to put in what we call a re-winch, which is battery operated. That will pull you 25 miles an hour across the lake, like on a kneeboard there. So we'll put it in one end of the lake and run it back and forth. And so if you look up re-winch on YouTube, it's kind of like, whoa, that looks fun. So the slide, they go down Superman style right there, but you saw kids going down on their knees and sitting down 35 miles an hour there at the bottom. That's actually the zip dip, which is our zip line that ends in the lake. So most kids go across like a skipping rock. I am like a big boulder, so kerplunk there at the end. And so new camp that we did was called Tabletopia. That is a board game camp combined with crafts. Everything you can do around a table, which for some people is just drink coffee. So that's what that camp is, but a family camp with unusual activities there at Tabletopia. We've done a few new things. On Target is another brand new camp that we've done. That's been a very evangelistic camp because guys are able to bring unsaved friends from work and stuff to just a one-night camp. But it's all a shooting camp, a shoot-no-shoot course, shooting at night, stuff like that. So horsemanship camp, pretty big deal for us. This is our ministry bound team that did a murder mystery for us in the middle of COVID when we couldn't do anything. They put on their own little show, and that was a lot of fun. Those are the horsemanship campers all sitting on the rail. They like to do that. And doing what campers do, which is I don't know what they're doing, but great fun. So that's the original building, 1973. This was it. We're looking at what was the kitchen, dining room, and auditorium in a building that was 18 by 38. And so today there's no debt. The place is paid for, and God has provided amazingly so. Night shot of Rivertown there. It just feels like you're in the middle of an old west town, and you can't see any city lights. All you can see is God's stars up there in the air, and several kind of areas for campfires. So we do church huddles after a men's retreat or women's retreat, and they all kind of go into their spot and share what they've learned. This is a new one, the Make It Mercantile. I mentioned it in the video, but it's about 2,000 square feet of all crafts and all that sort of thing. When I get to go home, I get to learn about glass fusion. So the kiln is sitting there, and we're getting ready to learn that area. The branding was just a huge hit. One of my favorite ones was one that was a kid who branded the day he got saved on his board. And this other kid, he wanted to make his dad a Father's Day gift, so he didn't know what to write, you know, for his dad. So he wanted to, you know, give a compliment to his dad. So when he got all done, he showed it to me, and I'm like, "That's for your dad?" He's like, "Yeah." And so he had engraved, "Best grandma ever," and on the backside, "Happy Father's Day." So that is quite a compliment to be the best grandma ever. So it's their own creativity that shows up there. But a ton of brands, which is really kind of a unique activity that is totally their own. It even works well for those of us who are spelling impaired. We have a sander on base right there just to sand it off and start over. So that happened a few times along the way. So these are volunteers that help out during the year. That's the beginning of the tin toad before we got working on it. We're thinking about taking the engine compartment out and making that where you get your drinks in an ice cooler. So we haven't finished that off, but there it is, and it can just go wherever. Full kitchen in the back, 6-foot griddle, refrigerator. We can reconfigure it any way we want. We just roll everything up to it, and whatever meal we need that needs whatever it has, we're set to go. So that's been a fun one. That's the remodel. You can't even tell, which is kind of good because we added two dining rooms here to the corner of the homestead. So those of you who've been there before, that used to be under porch, and now it's all the same. That's the Iron Skipper, the individual dining room. That's the other one that we added. We needed both of those. By, like 2 weeks after we finished them, we needed them for the camps that we had. So those are some more of those new things. This is the new cabin that we're building. We're going to build two or three more eventually, but full porch on the front side, 10-foot ceilings, and that is our king-size bed that then breaks apart to two singles when we're not having couples retreat. And then you'll notice the bunks are actually built into the wall. And so that means when the guy who gets out of the top bunk gets out of the bed, the guy in the bottom bunk never feels it. So full-size mattresses there when adults go into that. It's now become the most popular cabin. Can handle 14, and ladies' retreat is totally full. Two bathrooms, two showers, four sinks in that cabin. So they get pretty excited about that. So we remodeled classrooms. Actually, when COVID hit, like about 2 weeks after it hit, we had a remodel going. We just got started on it immediately, and it gave us the 5 months that we needed to get it all done right there. So new campfire spot that's there, the barn that we worked on, some more stuff at the hacienda. This isn't any fun, but the water treatment plant, there's $250,000 sitting right there. That is all the treatment system that does not work. So we are in a spot right now where the county does not know how to get this figured out. We're drilling a new well next. Probably the biggest prayer request we have going on right now is a new well. We'll try to get to an aquifer where we have water that does work. If that doesn't work, this system right here, in order to get out the fluoride, fluoride's a very small particle, in order to get the fluoride out would cost us about $600,000 a year to get that out. So it would effectively double the price of camp. So it's just not even a possibility. So it is the result of California. California loves to be first in the nation. You'll hear them brag about that a lot. They think that's a wonderful thing. They have made, so federally we have pure water, but California-wise we do not. And so that's what we have to figure out. We're our own water system. So that's what is getting done. So that's a few of the slides of what's going on. I'm going to let Cindy share a few things from her perspective and maybe some of the more personal things. If you're ever wondering, I want to know some more of the personal stuff. You've got to be friends with Cindy on Facebook, and then you'll see lots of stuff right there.
All right. So you guys twisted my arm asking me to come up, but I don't mind, really. So I was saved as a child, but I gave my life to the Lord at Camp Peniel. So Camp Peniel always means something special to me. I went as a child all the time. I went as a teen. My family went to family camp, and I just I loved to go to camp, and God has allowed me to be part of the camping ministry, which I am very grateful for, and I am thankful that he has allowed me to do that. For 27 years, I babysat the staff children, and about 3 years ago, I think it's been 3 years now, we were kind of in a spot where his parents are retired. His dad does some building stuff for the camp, but for the most part, they're retired, and some of the responsibilities for him were getting larger, and then I found myself in more spots where I needed to be with women for... I never consider myself a counselor. You know, if you want to chat, I'm a chatter. I can give you the gospel. But I did find myself in more spots like that, you know, just getting older. And so we decided that I should retire from babysitting the staff kids. And that was a hard decision, but it was a wise one. And it has profited us greatly. So now I can travel with him a lot more freely. And then I'm definitely have been tossed in more counseling-type situations, which is a little new for me. And then I work with pastors' wives some, which I've really enjoyed getting to know them. And then with our staff, and we have a lot of Institute of Ministry and ministry-bound, a lot of younger college-age, 20-year-olds, just starting off in life. And so we are able to minister them so much more as far as having people over because I don't have to be at the daycare. So anyway, it was a hard give, but it's also been just a huge, huge blessing, and I've really enjoyed it. So that's kind of new with me this past year. If you want to know what I've learned, well, a lot. As I'm sure everybody in this room, COVID did a number on, I'm sure, all of us. And so... It reminds you to be still and know that he is God. And I don't have to worry about what the government is doing. I don't have to worry about what California is doing. We need to vote and do our part, but God is in control. And it's like, all right, let's just keep serving him. He's got this. I don't have to worry about anything. And so along with a lot of other lessons, but that's really been rattling around in my head, is just be still, let God take care of it, and let's go. Let's just keep serving him. I mean, what a great place to be anywhere. I mean, if God has given us salvation, and he's given us the word, and we have this news, we need to be sharing it. Time's short. We need to just keep sharing him. So let's go.
We all set. Okay, a few little details. We want to open it up to you for some questions if you have any, but a few details that you might wonder. Cindy and I are at about 90% support. The Lord has kept our support in a pretty good spot, really. That's a good place to be. So we've been thankful for that. Even through COVID, that support did not wane or change. It's probably one of the better parts of what has happened, that although we didn't run camp for about 116 days, we were not in a spot where financially that was impacted in a big way. Cindy and I both have an empty nest now, so we don't have any kids at home, and in fact all of our kids have their own home, so it's like the real empty nest. Like when they're at our nest, it's not their nest anymore. So it's been a fun time for us to learn how, in this new season of life, how to take advantage of that, use those kind of the new spot that he's given us. A lot of people ask kind of how we went through everything. Let me give you just like a little 5-10 minute story here. We on the day I was sitting in my garage playing a game with a bunch of the Institute of Ministry when we heard that California closed down. We were the first one to all have to stay at home, and so when that happened, I'm like, That'll probably last for, I don't know, a week, maybe two. And at the time, our governor was telling us 8 million Californians were going to die through this. It was definitely like, whoa, we definitely need to do something about this. And so then we had to do all kinds of stuff to figure out what we were going to do with the Institute of Ministry and Ministry Bound. And we had to let some people go back home, close some things, close our Christian school. There was all this stuff that were just all happening. Well, Also on that day, my accountant comes to me and he says, did you see this check? And there was a huge donation that was sent in. Now, that donation, I knew it was coming. The donor had called up and said, this is for all the family of camps, and I want to give it to you guys. I know you guys can't do any work until the fall, but I want you to have it now. I said, well, we're not going to be able to do anything with it. We won't have any extra time until the fall. And he's like, I just need to get it out of my account, and I need to put it in your account. I said, oh, we'll take it. That's no problem. I just need you to know that don't call me in 2 months because we won't have used it. We're just going to put it, put it in the bank. He says, that's fine. That'll work fine. So I knew it was coming, and I knew it was a sizable donation. And so when it arrived, it wasn't a surprise to me. I had expected it to come. My accountant didn't know that it was coming. So everything was bombarding it. Bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. Whoa! Okay, did you know that? Yeah, but we gotta take people to the airport. We gotta get people picked up. There was all this stuff going on. And a week into it, we're kind of figuring out what needs to be done, and everybody is isolated and all that. And there's all these things. So you can go to work if this is your job, or if this is your job. And one of the ones that you could be at work on was that if you were a construction worker, it was okay. And I'm looking at that, and I'm like, wait a minute. We just got a big donation. We could all be construction workers. So I just told everybody, I said, I'll see you at morning meeting. We spread everybody out, and we all became construction workers. And all the projects that we were going to do in the fall, we just moved them all up started the third, fourth week in March, and we started being construction workers. In fact, when we got to the summertime, the only way that we were able to have the staff come, because at the time we were not running camp, and a camp that basically spends $4,000 a day, we had done a max cash conserve, and we had gotten it down to only spending $1,000 a day. But still, you're spending $1,000 a day, and it's a burn. It's just going, leaving, 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 and nothing else is coming back in. And so we set up with everybody. We said, we'll just share with you our $0 date. This is when we get to $0 based on what we have and what we know that's going to come in. This will be the date that we won't have any more money. We told all of our staff at that point, you'll go get a job if you can get a job. We'll be here. You're getting some missionary support, but probably we'll have to mothball camp for the time being, and that was okay if that's what God was going to do. But we weren't going to do that till we hit $0. We were just going to, right up to the very end, we were just going to keep on serving. Well, that $0 date just kept on getting moved. As the Lord provided, as gifts were given, as things happened, the $0 date, we came within 3 weeks of it in some of the time, but never closer than 3 weeks, and we were able to operate all the way through. In the summer, so this was the summer of 2020, we were not able to have camp at the time, and so we had 80 staff contracted, and everything was falling apart. They'd all gone back to home, and so we released everybody of their contract, and we said, we will hire back 55 people, but I'm telling you, we can't help you with your travel in. We can't give anybody any paycheck. There won't. You're just a volunteer, and if we are able to do camp, you'll be on camp staff. And if we can't have camp, you're construction workers with the rest of us. And so we had enough money that we said, I think we could get to the end of the summer. And so with 55 people and they all eat food, you're going to go from $1,000 a day. You're going to end up burning a lot more as we went through. But we figured it out and said, okay, we could hire 55 people. And so of the 80 that we had, 52 of them said, yep, I could be there. I could come in that new way. We opened up those three spots that were open to anybody else who wanted to come. And of course, college students are going home everywhere, all over the place. And those spaces filled up within 24 hours. We had our 55 people, and they all arrived on that first day of staff training. We did staff training just like it was normal, like we're going to have campers. But when are we going to have campers? I don't know. Okay, we're going to get ready, going to have our skit program. We did our rough draft, our dress rehearsal of the skit program. Are we going to do skits like next week? I don't know. This may be the only showing right here. We had no idea what was going to happen, but we just kept on preparing like it would. First week of summer camp, we had to cancel. Second week of summer camp, we had to cancel. We just did work. We lined up 100 projects. The crew was cranking through 30 to 40 per week. We were like, wow, these young people have a ton of energy. We took on the old Spanish-Mexican style of siesta. We worked from 7 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon, took a 3-hour siesta, and then we had classes and things from 4 to 7 that evening. Well, that 6-hour time, they could crank out the work. After 2 weeks of not having camp and 2 weeks of training, finally we got to a spot where a church had called us up and they said, okay, we know you guys can do day camp. Our kids just need camp. We will bring our kids. They're from Newport Beach, 3 hours away from camp. We'll just bring our kids to camp. We've got buses. We'll take everybody back to Barstow, and we'll get a hotel room. Hotels are still able to be open. And then we'll go to McDonald's for breakfast and Carl's Jr. for dinner, and then maybe you could serve lunch. And we're like, well, that sounds good. We'll definitely do day camp, but let me check on a couple of things. Because I think we could be a hotel, and I know we could be a restaurant. So sure enough, we ran day camp from 7 in the morning until 10:30 at night. And at 10:30 at night, we told everybody, day camp's over. You guys need to go back to your hotel room, which were our cabins. So they all went back to their hotel room with our counselors that they could rent a counselor. And so they had their rent a counselor. They could stay with their group if they wanted to. They ate in their same spot. When they met, they were all in a group. So we just had that group was over there, and that group was over there, and that group was over there. We were able to run about half capacity for the rest of the summer that way. When they would arrive at camp, they had to pay two fees, their hotel fee and their day camp fee. But it was a mere walk between the two. And then at 7 a.m., welcome back to Ironwood. Glad you enjoyed. You were gone for a few hours, and now we're ready to start camp all over again. So that's the way we operated the summer. As far as I know, we were the only camp that operated in California. The health inspector never showed up the entire time. We'd communicated with all of our government officials what we planned to do. We'd had a number of meetings with them down in county because we were working through water stuff. They were all set to go. We saw 16 souls saved that summer. That's obviously a summer where you can't, where you didn't have very many new people. There weren't very many. You just didn't bring folks that you didn't know. It was just kind of youth groups together. But it was an amazing summer that God gave us, the summer of 2020. This last summer, we basically operated in the regular way, but there are a number of camps in California that have still not opened up. All the Salvation Army camps are still closed. A number of camps that have sold and folded up completely. As well as about a third of the restaurants in California closed up because of the hardship that they've gone through. So it's a pretty brutal time for them to go through. But as a ministry, we have just seen so many churches get involved. At some point, when California just made so many rules that you couldn't sing, couldn't do all of those stuff, I sat down with all of our team in a family meeting and said, look, we serve churches. And if churches are going to fellowship, and if they're going to worship, and if they're going to disciple, and if we can be a help in that process, we're going to open. So if churches go to prison, we'll go to prison. That's okay. And Cindy and I had that conversation. I said, okay, so if I do go to prison, you need to have this paperwork and this paperwork, and you need to think about this, and maybe you'll be joining me in a different wing somewhere along the way, but this is what we're going to do. We are going to serve churches. I would not have expected to be in the spot where we were not able to do what God has told us to do. But it's been fun to see the way churches have responded, to see the way they have done things. Obviously, there are rules and stuff that they put out there that were not acceptable. It's not the same for every camp in the nation, and not even in our own counties was it the same. So we were in a situation where our county government had said that was something that was okay to do, and our county and federal and state were all in big arguments. But that's the cool part about being an American, is that God or our forefathers did not put all the power in one person's hand. And I'm thankful for that. And when you see our governments kind of argue with each other and go to courts to figure it all out, that's part of the design of the United States of America, and I'm thankful for it. Now, sometimes it looks a little messy and it looks a little yucky, but it really is a cool thing in the country that we live in. Now, we can tell a direction that it's headed without a God means that government gets bigger and bigger. It's no surprise to me that California has a really big government. That's because it's a very godless place, and without God, the government becomes the thing that keeps citizens in line. And so with God, you need less and less government because people are living according to what God would say. But we're not planning to leave California. We're not going to Idaho or Texas. We are going to continue to serve the churches in California, and what a need that's out there. And because of all of this, those churches that do fellowship and worship and disciple now are so obvious, and so it's so obvious that that's a church that's continuing to do the work of the body as a bride of Christ. So, a lot of fun. Do you have any questions for me? Anything that you wonder? I know I've showed a lot of pictures, shared a lot of stats and all that stuff. We've got maybe 5 minutes or so that I can answer any questions that you might have. And the harder, the better. Yes?
Was there ever a time when you thought you might be going to jail?
No, there was never. There were a couple of times where we were with county officials, and I was telling them what we were doing, and I wasn't sure what they were going to say. That was a little interesting. 2 days after California opened, our county inspectors did show up. I mean, so the moment it opened, 2 days later, county shows up, and we took them everywhere. At that point, we had communicated what the precautions we were going to take and what precautions we were not going to take. So some churches weren't comfortable with everything there. So there were some churches that weren't attending, but then there were some churches that were. It was during that inspection that I was probably the most interested in what was going to happen. But I will say that time where you are saying we are going to sing, and we're going to sing on Monday, and we're going to sing worship to our God, it is one of those things that you know that anybody can get upset at you, that there's no way to control. There's no way to control Facebook or, you know what I mean? There's sponsors who are all excited about it and sending pictures home and stuff like that. And so you're just like, I want to be a testimony of that God is more important than anything else. And so it is one of those things where you just got to narrow it down to what is obedient to God. And if you can get it all narrowed down to that, it becomes really simple. I'm going to obey. I'm not going to disobey. And so sometimes the situations are really complex, but that's what we wanted to narrow it down. And at that point, we just said, I think this is to continue to worship him as we have in the past. That's an okay thing to do. And I understand that that can be divisive and it can be different in everybody's spot, but I'm just sharing what we would have done in our situation. I think for all of us, there is that question of, okay, this is obedient to God. This is disobedient to God. Those are the things that I'm going to do. And it is a bit of a relief to actually say, I'm not worried about the camp or my life or like who my roommate's going to be tonight. You know, you're just going to, I'm just going to do the right thing. You kind of, it's a weird restful thing. I didn't think I'd ever experience it in my life, but to just say, no, I'm okay with whatever God does. It gives you the boldness to do what he wants. Yes, Pastor?
I know a few years ago you had some flash flooding that came through and washouts and things that were recently built. Have continued to be a problem and things been rebuilt?
No, yeah, we've rebuilt everything. We've not rebuilt them in the same place. We would call that wisdom. But we haven't had the same flooding. We had a while before that. We had the fire that came through. It seems like there's just a little thing, one thing after the other. God brings those things through your life. But physically the building part of it. We're going through a big phase where, 2023 will be our 50th year. So we are looking at buildings that are 40 years old, 45 years old, 35 years old. So we're having to put more resources into fixing what was old. For a while there, what was built that old, we just got rid of. Like, that was Pioneer of the least, boy, they built that whole shade with two brackets. But now we're getting into the building that's a little bit nicer. We're actually trying to save it. So a big part of our work right now is probably bringing up to speed things that have been built 40 years ago. Yes?
How would you see your ministry personally change over the next 5 to 10 years?
5 to 10 years, that's an interesting one because my ministry is so much different than it would have been 10 or 15 years ago. I am not involved in all the day-to-day operation as much. Still quite a bit at Ironwood, but there's an assistant director who works with a lot of that stuff. Family of camps, I would have thought that might have continued to grow, but we've had 3 camps, and one of them's almost 12 years old. We're ready to let them go. My board would have just, I have to submit this next time, the succession plans. So I'm like, I'm 52. You're 52. We'll start the succession of a generation when I turn 55. So it's been... I would say that personally, it's been a lot more ministry with the small group of leaders that serve. So the small group of camp coordinators, the small group of camp directors that are there, that most of my time is spent not in the physical work of doing camp, but in the training of people to do leadership roles wherever they're at. So the books for me that have been really interesting is trying to lead leaders. And so you're trying to train middle management and upper management, in camp areas. So that's both been rewarding and frustrating at the same time. But that has it has changed the way Cindy and I minister. We travel a bit more, no kids at home anymore, so we're able to be on the road a little bit more, but then you're working with people who are good thinkers, hard workers, and trying to teach them to be good at what they do. A little bit more, some of the big emergencies kind of filter to the top. So like when COVID started, Cindy and I had to just get in the car, go up to Wolf Mountain and kind of work with their staff. Their leadership wasn't at the spot where they were ready to kind of go through. Well, do we have to fire everybody? Do we have to let everybody go? Is the camp going to fall apart? And we had to kind of be that kind of that even keel to help go through some of those things. And I've written a little bit more, so not a ton, but a lot of the training things, I've done more of that. Good. Anybody else? We do covet your prayers. It is the ministry going forward is an interesting time. I don't think God is ever in the business of making your life boring. He kind of keeps changing it up. So wherever you're at in your life, you've never been there before, never lived this year before, all brand new things in front of you. Same thing for us. So we're just praying for wisdom as we go forward in the ministry. There's a number of new things that we're doing. This Ministry Outfitters Camp, really fun camp. We'll probably see kids from all over the nation at that. But we received a donation to make it possible for 25 to 30 kids to come to Ministry Outfitters. It'll be in the same weekend in December for the next 4 years at least. And so if there's somebody, even here at the church, who's interested in going into the ministry, we'll pick them up from the airport in Vegas for free, and they could come to Ministry Outfitters. It's just a really cool camp for there. Working on the buffet room is the next thing that we're doing. And so that's the one room that everybody attends regularly at the camp, like 3 times a day. And so trying to find a time where we can down the buffet room. We thought we were going to be able to do it in January, but we have now camp signed up with 200 plus 3 weekends in a row. And January has just become a huge month. So now we're trying to figure out, right at the end of Women's Retreat, can we tear it down and go November and December and get it all done? So that's the buffet area, kind of expanding that out. And then work with a businessman's camp called Resolved. We meet in Park City, Utah in February. So this is for businessmen. And we've learned a ton at that camp, which makes us wonder if we could do camp on wheels, camp without facility, and serve churches in a way that picks a spot that does camp for them there. Working on a new endeavor called On the Path, where we try to connect churches and young people and individuals who are looking forward to the future in the pastorate. I do believe that one of the greatest needs that we'll have looking forward is pastors to continue on. I believe in the society that we're looking at and the way things are going, that we'll need far more pastors than we have. And I do think if we're paying attention, we have to kind of look around the corner, and there will come a time where we don't get to use the internet, and we don't get to use our building, and we don't get to use the normal things that we're used to, the normal tools that we have here. But it doesn't take anything away from running from having church. We can still do church without the technology that we've had in the past, without the tools that we've had in the past. But I guarantee you, we will need pastors for all of those churches. So we are working on a thing to help some churches and donors get together on how to train pastors within the church body right here. So it's a bunch of little things that we're working on. I'm really excited about. We'll see how God works in all of those details. So if you ever find yourself out in Southern California, I would encourage you to stop on by. One more thing, if you do go to YouTube and you go to the channel, Ironwood Camp, and you subscribe, I'll give you something else off the back table. So if you're like, I wanted two, there's a way for you to get two. All you have to do is subscribe. I did that with our summer staff a while back, and I told Bodie, we're trying to get to 1,000 subscribers, and that way we can control the ads on our page if we get there. And so Bodie's like, yeah, that's a good idea. Tell the summer staff. So I promoted it just like I did here. I'll give you something free from the general store if you'll subscribe. At the end of the night, we'll see how many we added. And we had like 778. And then by the end of the night, I looked at it and we were at 764. I'm like, what? And Bodie, the next morning, Dad, you're fired. No more promoting. So most everybody had already subscribed. So when they saw the subscribe button, they pushed it again and they unsubscribed. That's what they had done. So if you're already subscribed, you don't get to subscribe again. It doesn't work. So hopefully tonight a few of you subscribe and I can tell Bodie I can be rehired as the promotion guy for the website. There is a church toolbox. Some of you did the ministry, the manager in ministry. The church toolbox now has the RIB and all the manager in ministry articles are there, as well as some of the new ones we're adding. Some of the Big Five training is there. So that's churchtoolbox.org, and over 450 pages right now that are a benefit to church ministries. So those are some other things that we do that might be a help even to this church. Pastor, it's all yours.